The Feast of Tabernacles, as we have observed it, represents an amazing future. The last great day, which is today, represents the beginning of the rest of history that is to follow. The significance of this sometimes may become lost, but it is very important. The last great day represents a time when judgment will finally come to a conclusion, and everyone will have had a fair chance at accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. During that time of judgment, a distinction will be made between those who have chosen to commit their lives to obedience to God and those who have rejected Him. Time marches forward into the future, and as it does, this day of final judgment draws closer and closer. That day is what this last great day of the feast represents. There will be a few people who do reject God and suffer death. But there will also be many who follow the right path to obedience to God, accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as their Savior. This time, when God will bring an end to this age and begin a new one, is likened to a harvest. The title of my sermon today is First Fruits. And I will begin in Matthew 9, and we'll read verses 35 through 38. Here we read about a harvest. Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus Christ saw the potential for people to become converted, but he could also see that there was a vast amount of work to do. He describes this work as a harvest. That harvest is an event when all that has grown to its fullest potential is gathered in. This harvest is for the people of the earth who will be in the family of God. It will consist of people who have become converted and who have successfully overcome sin through Jesus Christ living in them. When a harvest occurs, there is a first fruit. These are the products of the harvest that are ready and ripe before all of the others. Just as there is a first fruit in an agricultural harvest, there is a first fruit in the harvest of people. It is a privilege to be counted among those first fruits. If you and I are called out of this world right now, if you and I are converted and baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, and if you and I never turn our backs on God and reject Him, then we are considered to be first fruits of God's harvest. We will be changed into God beings before any of the others. What a tremendous privilege. Let's turn over to Revelation 14, and we'll read verse 4. Revelation 14, and reading verse 4. "The These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being firstfruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. This scripture describes the saints who have succeeded in their calling, leading up to the end times. These are the firstfruits, and they have followed Christ and overcome sin by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. It is important to note that this scripture does not say that the 144,000 who are referred to are the only firstfruits. In fact, there is a great multitude that are mentioned in other places, indicating that there will be many more. So many that they are not even numbered. We will be among the firstfruits, but there will be many more. The point is that in God's harvest, there will be firstfruits, and that this is the goal that you and I are to be working towards. You and I have been blessed with understanding now. We are responsible for doing something about it. Please turn with me to Romans 8, and we'll read verses 23 through 25. Romans 8, verses 23 through 25. This scripture picks up from a place where I left off yesterday. Romans 8, 23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, that sonship, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We have the firstfruits of the Spirit. God will offer his Holy Spirit to many people in the time of the millennium, when people are learning the truth. But they will only receive it if they have become converted, just as you and I have. But we have the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit right now. We have the opportunity before everyone else. By receiving the first fruits of the Spirit, we also become first fruits of God's harvest. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read verses 20 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 20, reading through 26. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Jesus Christ was the very first of the firstfruits, having been the first to overcome sin completely. We can also see that the next to be considered firstfruits are those who have become true followers of Christ at the time of his coming. This includes those who have died and those who are alive. This should include you and I, but only if we are successful and endure until the end. That means we cannot turn our backs. Please turn with me to James 1, and we'll read verses 16 through 18. James 1 and verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. The fact that we have the opportunity to learn about God's truth now is something that is a gift. It is given to us. We must be called by God to even begin understanding the truth. There's nothing that we have done, there is nothing that we can do by our own will that could allow us to become a first fruit. It is a gift. It is an honor and a privilege for us to be called out of the world right now to be a first fruit to God. I'll also add that by being a first fruit, we will be able to help others in the millennium. I'll continue in Exodus 23 and verse 19. Exodus 23 and verse 19. The first of the firstfruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Quite simply stated here. Here we go back to one of the first places where the concept of firstfruits are mentioned in the Bible. We can see that these were mentioned in the context of an offering. The first product of the harvest was an offering, the first product. This action of an offering, the first fruits, when the harvest begins, was to remind people that all that they had, everything that they owned, was a gift from God. We continue to make the same kinds of offerings today, when we give our tithes to God, when we make offerings. But Jesus Christ was also a sacrifice as a first fruit of mankind. And he was an offering. He offered up his whole life to God. First fruits are an offering. We too must live our lives as an offering. Let's turn to Romans 12 and we'll read verses 1 through 2. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Since we are privileged to be counted as first fruits to God, that is, the first who have the knowledge of the truth and have been converted, we need to consider what that means for our lives right now. The first fruits are an offering to God. That means that we are an offering to God too. We offer up our lives right now as a living sacrifice to God. We transform our behavior, the thoughts of our mind, and the intentions of our heart, so that we can come out of the world. Those are the things we sacrifice. We have a special opportunity right now to have a privileged position in God's family. This is something that we can only do if we are willing and able to commit our lives to God. Something that we must realize is that God considers us to be first fruits. He expects us to become ripe for the harvest first. If we want to become what God sees in us as our potential, we need to take action now.